title on this. I'd call it The Simple Gospel. I had a study on this a year or two or something ago. This is similar. I didn't find my notes. I didn't look for them. But the Lord led me this way. I was trying to work on something else, and then I thought about, he's not in here right now. Oh, yes, he is. He's back at the sound booth. Jeffrey and I were talking about free will and election or predestination. And another more advanced term is Arminianism and Calvinism, and the two things are not really the same, but they're similar. And then our conversation, after we talked about that for a while, kind of went into how people respond to biblical salvation. Now, how we got from one to the other, I don't know. You know how that goes. Conversations change. You start out one way and it goes another. And I started thinking about that and decided that this is important. A lot of this you've heard before. Some of it you probably haven't. But I think it'll still be a blessing. It is to me when we talk about salvation. Do you think in your mind that you'd be able to give someone the plan of salvation? Give them the gospel? You don't need to raise your hands on that. One of the hardest thing, there were two or three hard things to do about that, and one is having a plan, knowing the gospel well enough. And most of us do, we just think we don't, if we're saved and been in a fundamental church for a little while. The next hardest thing is getting started, getting the conversation that direction for a person. And the third is asking them for a commitment. That's hard. It's easy to give them, it's a lot easier to give them the gospel than after you give it, then say, would you like to do that? Would you like to receive Christ? That's hard. And I suppose it's hard, I don't know why, our old nature or Satan or both, probably both. And actually, that's not what I wanted to talk about. That's all just kind of rambling. But the simple gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for this free opportunity we have to look into your word and think about the most important thing that we can know in this world about our salvation. So we pray that you'd bless and encourage our hearts, give us confidence and assurance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the purpose this morning is to give assurance to us, the saved, and to relate that assurance, be able to relate that assurance to others that might not have assurance of their salvation, and to help the unsaved to know their condition. That's kind of the purpose of all this. First of all, the simple gospel. And I think probably 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, if you don't already know that, it's probably a good place to start. And finish. We can finish there. Simple gospel is there. I'm going to read starting with verse 1. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So he's talking to Christians here. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that's a big statement, unless ye have believed in vain. We'll I think when we get through, you'll understand maybe how that can be. Anyway, here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, verse 3, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's pretty simple. One thing that might not be as simple about it is who this Christ is. If a person has never heard about Jesus, never heard about the Bible, and there are some, there are many, they might have heard the name, you know, in a curse word, but they don't know what the Bible says about who Jesus was, maybe. But other than that, that's the gospel. And it says in verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins. They got to know who Christ is. But that's it. Pretty simple. Well, that's the simple gospel. I'm going to try to get through about four things. I think seminaries say that you should only have 3 points or something, no more than three. I got four. I don't know what seminary says. I didn't go to seminary. I hear these things. The simple gospel, then secondly, the faith of salvation, and thirdly, two significant words, and they're up here, about salvation, and then fourthly, the Holy Spirit is our assurance of salvation. And we've already talked about the first point, the simple gospel. The faith of salvation, that's about the gospel, the faith of salvation. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. So faith is it. You got to have faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about faith and belief. It's impossible to please him. We walk as we receive. In Colossians 2:6, it says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. So that's how we walk. We walk by faith. And so all of the things that we might try to do to make ourselves feel better or to make other people think we're a Christian, or to prove we are, doesn't really make any difference. We walk by faith, not by our works, not by sight. As a matter of fact, I think I got that verse down. Yeah, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we receive Christ by faith, and then we walk by faith. And probably one is just as more spirit, just as spiritually difficult as the other. It's probably spiritually, it usually is spiritually difficult to accept Christ by faith because you got an enemy and you got the old nature. And then it's difficult to walk by faith. We like to think about what we do for the Lord Jesus. And that's okay. I mean, we do things for the Lord Jesus, yes. But still, our righteousness is like filthy rags to the Lord. Our old self makes our righteousness not look so good toward God. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do good things. And the Lord is pleased with that, in spite of ourselves. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We make decisions by faith. I made a decision by faith in what to present here. I started out with something else and changed my mind. Well, why did I change my mind? It wasn't because I saw something that my intelligence said, oh, this is what I have to do. The Lord just impressed upon me that I should do this. And it's by faith. Faith is necessary, and we walk by faith and not by sight. Third point, significant words in salvation. We're going to get to these words. And that first word, one of my Greek textbooks, I got three Greek textbooks, and not because I'm smart, because I just happen to have three. Picked them up at a yard sale or something. I don't remember where I got them. But one of them, well, I only looked at one, I guess. And it says you pronounce that first word, ace. But I think most people that I've known that knew a little bit of Greek pronounces it ice. And I'd rather pronounce it ice than ace. It sounds better to me. Maybe just because I've heard it more. Anyway, it's the Greek letters are here and the English letters are here. And same in the next word, Greek and English. And the first one looks pretty straightforward. It looks about like the English. It's E-I-S. The Greek letters are epsilon, iota, sigma, E-I-S. Well, that word means toward and into. And most of the salvation verses that we have in our Bible tells us to believe in, and this is ice, and it means toward and into. You believe toward the Lord Jesus and into him. That's salvation. And that's the word that's used. We're going to, let me read from, this is in our library back there. It's Word Studies by Zodiades or Zodiades or however you might want to pronounce it. I don't know how to pronounce it. He's a Greek, I think. About this word ice, and I'm still looking for it here. Thought I had it marked. Here it is. Okay. This first word, ice, meaning into or motion toward, this Zodiades in his definition says, it's the primary idea of motion into any place or thing, also of motion or direction to or toward upon any place or thing. And Strong's Concordance, about the same word, starts out saying a prime preposition to or into. It's a little bitty word, a little bitty writing. I can't hardly see it. To or into, indicating the point reached or entered. So when we believe in Christ or on Christ, that's what it's talking about. We're believing toward and into something. That's the first word. And we're going to look at some, there's a whole lot of places in Scripture, especially, the New Testament we're talking about, that has this, tells us to believe into Christ. And I want to look at a few. John 1:12. And I'd like for you to, if you got a Bible, to look at these also. Some of them get kind of, they're important. They're all important, but I mean, some of them are pretty significant. John 1:12, a real common verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on ice into his name. And I want you to notice something there. If your Bible is a good Bible, it'll leave out the word even, or it'll be in italics, one or the other, because that word is not in the Greek. Which means it equates receiving with believing. Let me read it without that word even. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, to them that believe in his name. Believing and receiving are almost synonymous. And by the way, this believing is the same word in the Greek as faith. If you see the word faith in the Bible or the word belief, it's almost always the same Greek word. It's pistos. Means to have faith or belief. There's a little bit of difference in the noun and verb, but the base word is the same. So if you want to change and read this verse 12 and say, to them that have faith in his name, that's what it means. Them that believe in his name. And then turn just a little bit further over to John 3:18. We're looking for this word ice. That's what we're looking toward. And that's what's used when you get saved. You're believing toward and into the Lord Jesus. 3:18 says, he that believeth on him, ice, in, into, toward, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in, there we go again, same word, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What I'm getting at is virtually all of our salvation verses uses this word, and that's what it means. You're believing into something. Not just about it, but into it. That's the key. Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in, you see that word of, that's in Jesus Christ, ice. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Believing by faith in the Lord Jesus. Then 1 John 5:13. We'll be in 1 John and the Gospel of John a little bit later as we proceed. So you might keep in mind that we'll be back to 1 John. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that believe on. Sometimes it says on in your King James and sometimes in, but it's still the same word in the Greek, ice. To you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on, in, toward, into the name of the Son of God. Those are just a few, and there are many more, and we call them salvation verses, and that's how they almost all are used that way. Now, the second word that's important is inside of or within. And we're in 1 John. Look at 1 John 5:20. If you're still there. I didn't tell you to stay there. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him. That's a different word. after you're saved, you get saved toward and into, but after you get saved, then you're in Christ. You're inside of, E-N. And we are, E-N, the Greek, inside of him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're not anymore going toward or into, we're already there. We're inside of him after we're saved. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I think we'll have time to do this. We've got a little ways to go, but 2 Corinthians 5:12. My pages are sticking together. And we're looking toward the latter part of the verse. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:12. We commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that ye may have something to answer them, which glory inside of appearance and not inside of the heart. We're getting a key here that it has to be a heart condition, not a mental condition. And so people are glorying inside of their own appearance, like what they look like, what they're doing, so people can watch them, and not in the heart. Remember what that one verse said, believing in vain? It's my strong opinion that that means they only believed with their mind and not their heart. They didn't believe toward the Lord Jesus, they believed about the Lord Jesus. There is a difference. And we're seeing keys to this, and this is one verse as a key to that. There's some others. I forget whether I got those down or not. But anyway, a distinction in believing in the heart. Let's go to three of the most common verses that we use for salvation. I think they're the most common, almost the most. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you will confess, says with in the King James, but that's the Greek word in, inside of. If you will confess inside of your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe inside of your heart, that's the word, that's not to, toward, that's inside of. Believe inside of your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth toward righteousness, that's ice. A man believeth toward righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made toward salvation, toward and into. And then I can't leave out verse 13, though we're not really dealing with that. But for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it has to be inside of your heart and in your mouth and in your heart. So that's two important, their prepositions is what they are. And by the way, a respected commentary is a Wiest commentary, word study, And I don't know where I read this or heard it, but it's Wiest's quote that said his teacher always said to him, or often said to him, don't forget the prepositions. Don't forget the prepositions. Turns out that prepositions, not these so much, but some prepositions change and have different meanings when they're in different cases and stuff, and really are important. These are really important, but they don't change like some of them do, as much as some of them do. That's my experience with them anyway, which isn't all that much. This idea of believing in your heart, James 2:19 doesn't say that Satan believes in Jesus Christ, but it does say he believes that God is one God, or God is one. And so he has an intellectual belief that God is there and God is true and God exists, but he doesn't believe into anything about God. He doesn't believe toward God, he believes about God. I suppose he tries to stay away from God. He wants to become God himself, to be like God, it says in somewhere. Is it Isaiah? Who knows? He wants to be like God. He's tricky, Satan is. He's like a roaring lion, for one thing, but another thing, he's like an angel of light. And so he doesn't always appear as a roaring lion, but he doesn't always appear as an angel of light. He changes depending on the circumstances. And those are two completely different things. We can't outguess which one he's trying to put forth. So the point being that we believe into and toward the Lord Jesus to get saved, but Satan doesn't do that. He believes about it. And we believe inside of our heart, not just with our mind. Now, let's, for a few minutes, talk about the Holy Spirit and our assurance. I'm going to go back to 1 John again, 2:20. In 1 John 2:20, what we're trying to do here is get an assurance that we are saved. How do we know we are saved? And the Holy Spirit is the key to our assurance of salvation. It says in 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction, meaning an anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now that doesn't mean we're all-knowing like God is. It means we know about all things, and it's talking about spiritual things. We are able to know all kinds of spiritual things that the unsaved doesn't know and understand. As a matter of fact, the unsaved has a hard time understanding the gospel. And I know that by experience. One time in the Air Force, me and another airman was giving this young man the gospel, and he kept saying, say that again, go over that again. And he said that three times. And finally, and the last time, I changed my manner and went to different verses. But he couldn't understand what we went through here, the simple gospel, 1 Corinthians 5, 3 and 4. He couldn't get that. He couldn't understand it. And it's because God hasn't opened his spiritual eyes. This is spiritual, not intellectual. Even the simple things of God, it's not intellectual. If it were intellectual, then, you know, a 4 or 5-year-old kid couldn't get saved, probably. Or some of these mentally restricted people that get saved and glorify God by their attitude. It's spiritual. I got sidetracked. The anointing. We have the Holy Spirit to know that we're saved. Let's keep with this a little bit. I think maybe we'll have time to go to Exodus. Exodus 33. I think Exodus 33 is a real neat verse. 33:16. Did I say 16? Exodus 33:16 says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have, this is Moses talking, I'm reasonably sure, verse 12 said it, and Moses said to the Lord, I'll start again, verse 16, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How do we know? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, meaning set apart, I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Notice, is it not that thou goest with us? How do we know? How shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not known because thou goest with us? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. How do we know? How do people know that we're saved? It's the Holy Spirit within us. He is with us. If you're still in 1 John, and you might be, 3:24. 1 John 3:24. Says that, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And herein we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That's pretty straightforward. We know that Christ abides within us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Sometimes we think we have to know intellectually that we're Christ. Not really. It's still by faith. And it's the Holy Spirit within us. Let's keep on this for a little bit. He is with us. We know by his Spirit in us. 1 John, we're still there, 4:13. Just a little ways further down the line. 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. That's how we know we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Now let's go to the Gospel of John. And I think it's the Lord's will that we're going to end up here in the Gospel of John. 14. We're going to be in chapter 14 and then 16. Kind of back and forth here. Gospel of John. 14:17. 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The world doesn't see him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The reason it says shall be in you is because the Holy Spirit hadn't come at the day of Pentecost to be within man. He wasn't in them at that time. But he is now. The Spirit's teaching, and flip over to chapter 16, 13 and 14. John 16, 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. We know we have the Spirit because he guides us into truth. And the Spirit gives peace. Back to 14, John 14. 14:26. I'm looking at my notes and don't understand them. No idea what it means. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance where whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. That has both the teaching of the Holy Spirit in that verse and the name of who the Holy Spirit is, our Comforter. That's where peace comes from. That's where the peace of God comes by the Holy Spirit. And so we have that advantage and gives us assurance that we are children of God because the Spirit of God is in us. And I hope you can recognize that in your own life. The Holy Spirit teaches you things of God and gives you peace, spiritual peace. So that's some of the keys of salvation. And if someone says, yeah, I know God, or I believe in God, they don't mean they believe toward, sometimes they don't know that they don't necessarily, I'll put it that way, they don't necessarily mean they believe toward and into God, they just mean that they believe that there's a God. Not good enough. By faith, he has to be accepted. And you believe toward him. It's like, I'm going for God. Right into everything he has. Any questions or comments? Got 2.5 whole minutes by that clock. Yes, Gracie. Yeah, I would, if they mean what they say, I would say it goes both ways. I mean, yes, we believe toward Christ, but we accept him, meaning that we're going toward him. We accept him by believing in our heart. I don't see an inconsistency, even though it's a different way of wording it. But sometimes people say that and they don't maybe mean it right. But we have to take people by what they say. I mean, we don't say, well, are you lying to me? they say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ. Okay, yeah. Do you have insurance? We might ask. We can't see other people's, and we have a hard time seeing our own heart sometimes. Yeah. I'm sure that that's true. I had that problem. I thought I could believe in both at the same time until I read the book Evolution in the Christian Faith and found out that you can't believe both at the same time because they're contradictory. But I didn't know that. I had a way of rationalizing through it. And yeah, that's a big stumbling block. By the way, quickly here, verse that we read in John 1:12 uses that name received, or I accepted Christ. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, to them that believe in his name. It equates the two. So we do have to receive him when we believe in him. They're kind of like they're equal. You can't do one without the other and be saved. You receive him or accept him, and you believe in him, both together. Maybe that helps in the question. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we want to admit to you that it is a spiritual thing and not our intelligence that brings us to you and keeps us. And we just thank you that you are our God and our Savior. Pray that you'd bless now in the service to follow. May God be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.